I just got back last night from 8 days helping direct some religious sisters on retreat, so I kind of feel like I'm coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. It is great to be with you, but the Lord's love that he pours out upon his brides was so beautiful to see and helped me remember that the spiritual realities are the most true, they're the most real of all. And so how beautiful it is to contemplate this moment where Jesus' divinity shines forth in a particular way for his chosen apostles. Now just to orient us a little bit and remind you, we've been working through the Gospel of Matthew during this year A in our cycle of readings. But this is out of order from where we were. We were about to start the 14th chapter. Now here we've jumped ahead a few chapters because we celebrate this feast on this day, the 6th of August. Now what happened immediately before this, we'll hear it in a couple of weeks, is that Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, prompted by the Holy Spirit, with faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He got the right answer. And Jesus chooses that moment to begin to reveal something about his mission as Messiah, saying that the Messiah will be handed over and suffer and be killed. Now, Peter's response to that is, "Over my dead body," right? There's no way we're going to let this happen. It's not fitting for you to do that. And Jesus has never been more angry. He's never been more firm in the way he responds in all of the scriptures than what he says to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You're not seeing as God sees, just as human beings see." Okay, so it's immediately after this that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain. After Peter had manifested his true faith in Jesus, but also his lack of comprehension about his mission. Now, this experience was one of the most unforgettable experiences. Peter writes about it later, what we heard in the second reading, that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We heard the voice. There was something so powerful about this experience that never was it far from Peter's mind for the rest of his life. Jesus reveals his glory. He's transfigured. His form is changed. Right? They see his human body and his human nature always readily before them. But here, his form was changed. He becomes like the sun shining with this brilliant light. His divine nature is revealing itself to them. We see who Jesus is, and it's confirmed once again by the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That testimony is verified by two witnesses, as the scriptures say it must be. Who are these witnesses? Moses and Elijah. All of the law and the prophets, all of the revelation of God up to this point is ratified by their presence. This is God made man, God who has come down to us. It's just a marvelous and stunning reality that we celebrate today. Now, St. Paul, who was someone who was not there at the Transfiguration, he speaks about how all of us as Christians are meant to have an experience of the Transfiguration. He says, all of us, this is in 2 Corinthians, all of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, so all of us are meant to gaze upon the face of the glory of the Lord and be transformed by that experience into what it is that we see, into what it is that we look upon. What is he talking about, right? What does he mean when he says we're supposed to look with unveiled faces? Well, this goes back to Moses, right? Moses, one of the ones who is present here at the Transfiguration. Remember when Moses, leading the people through the desert, the Lord is going to call him up the mountain. Now, when he does that, the Lord comes to Moses in the form of a cloud. The cloud comes over the mountain and speaks in a voice like thunder. And the people are too afraid to approach, so they stay at the base of the mountain. And when Moses comes down, the Lord has given him the law. Moses' face had been transformed. It shines with a brilliant light, and the people can't handle it. It's too much for them. And so Moses has to veil his face. And when Moses goes back to visit the Lord, or later when they make the meeting tent, as Moses goes in, he removes the veil, and the scriptures say he spoke to God as a man speaks to another, face to face. Well, that's saying a lot, because in the Old Testament, we're told that no one sees the face of God and lives. Now, notice what happens here then, on the Mount of Transfiguration. What happens? The glory of God appears in Jesus. A cloud comes down and envelops them there. This voice speaks from heaven like thunder. And Peter and James and John, they fall on their faces. They cover their faces in fear, right? Because no one sees the face of God and lives. Moses was the only one who was permitted to do that. Moses, who is a figure of Jesus, who is going to reveal the divine presence in the world. What does Jesus do then? He tenderly comes to them and he touches them. Right? He reminds them that, okay, you're not in heaven yet. Okay, you are here on earth. I am still here with you, my human nature. And he asks them to rise and to not be afraid. And what they see is the face of Jesus. The face of Jesus is the face of God revealed to us. Looking into the face of Jesus is gazing upon the face of the glory of the Lord. It's just veiled and hidden, right? But you and I are asked to be like Moses, not to be like the people who stay at the base of the mountain, afraid to approach the Lord, but with boldness to go up with unveiled faces, right? Without fear, totally vulnerable before the Lord. Letting him look upon us and looking back upon him. That experience, St. Paul tells us, is what allows us to be transformed, to become like we see, into that same image, to be transformed from glory into glory through the Spirit of God. Someone asked the question, why is it that it's Peter, James, and John who are chosen to go with the Lord up this Mount of Transfiguration? St. Thomas Aquinas provided this answer, which is pretty trustworthy if it comes from St. Thomas Aquinas, okay? So Peter, he says, Peter was the one who loved Jesus the most. Of all the apostles, remember at the shore, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter is able to respond truthfully, Lord, you know that I love you. And who is John? John is the beloved disciple. John is this one whom Jesus loved in a particular way, had this special favor for him, the one who is able to place his head upon Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. Not the one who loves the Lord the most, but the one who is loved by him the most, which is essential in our spiritual lives. Not just to pretend that we can love him, but to first know that he loves us and to receive that gift of love. And who is James? James, the brother of John, was the first of the apostles to offer his life completely for him in martyrdom. So it's these three. Who are these three as well? Well, Peter, like we said, was the one who wanted to stand in Jesus' way to keep him from going to the cross. James and John are the sons of thunder. They also have this great ambition to sit at the right hand, at the right and left of Jesus when he comes in glory. They are ones who need this encounter with Jesus revealed, unveiled, so that they can be transformed to be more and more in his image, so that they can be more like Jesus. Isn't it true, brothers and sisters, that that which we fix our attention upon the most, is that what we change into? We become more and more like that? Is it the Lord of glory that your gaze seeks? Is he the one upon whom you fix your attention? Is he the one that your heart is being molded and shaped and conformed to? Do you look upon him with an unveiled face? Or do you stay below, at the base of the mountain, surrounded by all of these other things that grab our attention? It's scary to go up the mountain. It's scary to experience that glory of the Lord, which descends upon us, which lifts us up into him. But so is the way of the cross. So is the way of the disciple. To follow Jesus is scary. But the result is that we can be transformed from glory to glory, to be like this glorious King, whose face was revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. We ask today for that courage to go into his presence. He is here. He is veiled, just like his divine presence was veiled from his apostles throughout his life, most of the time. He is veiled for us in the Holy Eucharist, in what looks like bread. But it is him, the King of glory, the Lord of lords, our Savior, the one who loves us, and the one who invites our love. Let us go up the mountain to encounter him today.